Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
What about your family? Why are you all alone?
It's just me.
Our mission as a studio is to craft life-changing art with game-changing tech.
I want to understand you. Senua?
Welcome to the documentary in the studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Nathan Jones, and I'm going behind the scenes of Senua Saga Hellblade 2, one of the most hotly anticipated video games launching in 2024.
We're trying to make video games and interactive experiences that have the potential to impact people in the same way that the best film and literature and art does.
I spend my life playing and making content around video games, and I was captivated by the atmospheric storytelling of the game's predecessor, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, when it came out in 2017. In it, you play as Senua, a traumatized warrior journeying to rescue the soul of her dead lover. It's a deeply moving exploration of loss, fear, and strength. And it won a number of awards, notably for its actors' performances, as well as for its portrayal of psychosis.
I want to put people in the shoes of people that have lived experiences from psychosis and make it as real as I possibly can.
It's August 2023, and I'm in the university city of Cambridge, in the east of England. Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, with its new setting in the rocky landscape of Dark Ages Iceland, has now been 6 years in the making. Studios are notoriously secretive about the games that they make, so it's great to be invited to the offices of Hellblade's developer, Ninja Theory. I'm going to meet studio head Dominic Matthews and find out where they are now in the process.
So we're in what we call production, which can be confusing to people not within games. So we have different phases. You have a concepting phase, a pre-production phase where you really work out what you want to build and how you're going to build it. And then in production is when you actually build the game. So we're in the phase of development now where we are building the levels, the characters, all of the interactivity, our cinematic scenes. So we're in the thick of it. Making a video game is something you do in layers. So what you start off with is essentially we call it a block out. And that's really kind of rudimentary grey blocks. And then we will start to add in, here's the real environment. Set dressing that we'll add to that. The characters will start to have costumes. They'll start to get their faces. They'll start to get facial animation. So all of those layers add in. So some of the things that we've been looking at, so just this morning, actually, we have some of our new character faces in. So up until now, they've just been grey, one colour, one tone faces. Mm. Now we're starting to see the real digital double faces go in. So in the meeting this morning, I could feel everyone leaning forward, looking closely, and there was kind of this murmur of great, because we're starting to see those real faces in there for the first time. And then you can start to feel the emotion of the scenes. When there's less of that content in there, you kind of have to squint to imagine it a bit more, what the final content is going to look like. So it's really magical for us, actually, when things like the character faces and the real movement goes in, because you have to squint just a little bit less to really get the feeling. And that's what we're looking for. It's a feeling. We want to feel something.
To help create that feeling for this video game sequel, Dominic and his team now have a purpose-built performance capture stage in their building. It's a bright white room about the size of a basketball court, with walls lined with cameras. On the mezzanine overlooking it, I find the technical crew and the German actor Melina Jürgens. They're going to record Melina's performance and use it to animate the main character of Senua. She's about to film a gameplay sequence, and she's being helped into a tight-fitting, almost wetsuit-looking performance capture suit, which is topped off with a clunky headset. It's fitted with an arm that beams light into her face.
So, Melina, it's taken maybe 15 minutes to get you kitted up in your Tron-like outfit there.
I've gotten into the suit thousands of times, probably. Today it went quite fast because I've already had the markers on from yesterday, but usually if we start from scratch, it will take a little bit longer.
When you say the markers, are they these eye-shaped patches all over you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're the reflective markers that are spread out all over the suit, and they're getting captured by infrared cameras.
Melina and fellow actor Altice Ammar-Hamilton head down to the performance capture stage.
Just shuffle your feet a little bit, please. All right, back in chair pose, please. Feet a little further apart.
So Melina is getting warmed up on the stage.
Hey, hold your pose there.
Doing something that kind of looks a bit like aerobics. Moving her ankle around, sort of kicking her leg about, flexing her fingers around.
And you're rolling.
Is this to warm up the actors or to track movements?
This is to set up their skeletons in the software. So the movements that they're doing, we call it a ROM. It's a range of motion, and it basically... We set the joint distance for all of their limbs through this, and this helps us get a one-to-one representation of the performer in the software.
Mm. You do this every day for every performer?
Yes. Everyone's different, so it's very custom.
Right, we're going to start with the second scene and shot two. So this is continuing on from yesterday when we shot the climb up, where Astrutha grabs Senua's hands and pulls her up over the top.
Directing the scene is Laura Durham, who's also one of the writers of the game.
This is a classic walk and talk. So I'll get you to sort of traverse the stage. Hopefully we'll make it across once before you have to turn around. But if you have to turn around and come back, keeping the same relative positions.
So what scene are we about to see right now?
So Senua has come to Iceland, a new country for her. One of the people she meets is a young woman who has a lot in common with her. They're both warriors. And that's the scene we're about to go into.
Now, if you can follow her sort of slightly behind, because this is a gameplay sequence. Generally speaking, Astrutha will be ahead and slightly to the left of Senua. So try and keep the performance front-facing. If you need to look back over your right shoulder.
Yeah. What is the experience of writing a script for a game that we wouldn't imagine if we're thinking of writing for TV or for film?
I think it's that you can't control what the player does. So you have to make sure that story is being told regardless of what the player is sort of choosing to do, or through the player in some cases.
Gameplay is involved in the writing then?
I have it in my mind all the time.
So if you remember at the end of that, Astrutha has just turned away.
Yeah.
So this is picking up from that point.
Right, exactly. The story is a much more collaborative process that everybody in the team contributes to. And everybody has ideas. Whereas the script is more something that I work on, a lot of collaboration with the actors, obviously, and with the audio team.
Sound speed, take two.
Shot six, take two. Body's rolling.
Lights on a face. Face rolling.
What about your family? Why are you all alone?
It's just me.
What happened to them? I want to understand you. Senua, some things are hard to talk about.
Okay, cut.
Cut.
Face cut.
Body cut.
Once she's recorded her scenes, I catch up again with actor Melina Jurgens. I want to know what it's like to have to wear that suit and that helmet shining lights in her face every day of filming.
I think it kind of makes you feel like you're in your own little world, especially once the green light is on, because it kind of cuts out everything that's around you, which is for me very nice because I'm quite terrified to perform in front of people. So if the light goes on and I don't know what's going on around me because I'm like blinded by it, basically, I feel kind of instantly a lot more comfortable. Even during the rehearsals, I often ask for the lights to be on, the green lights, because I just feel like I can focus better when I'm in my own little bubble. But yeah, I mean, the suit does get uncomfortable as well, I'm not going to lie. Like today, for example, I've got a terrible migraine from wearing the helmet all day long.
And you must have worn it quite a lot now. This is the second game.
I've been wearing it for probably 8 years now.
Speaking of the suit, that's not what your character looks like, is it? That's not what Senua looks like. Can you explain a little bit about how your actual character looks?
Well, she's Celtic, kind of twisted slash dreaded hair, a lot of war paint on her arms and on her face. She looks quite frightening, I would say.
You originally worked as a video editor here at Ninja Theory. Mm. How did you become Senua?
Maybe around 3 or 4 months into the project of Hellblade, they started using me as a stand-in to like try tech experiments, then started giving me a few lines that I should perform, and I was not great at it. Like I said, I'm not too comfortable performing in front of people, but I gave it a shot. The director really liked what I was doing, and they just offered me the role basically a couple months into the project. That's how it all started.
Melina won Best Performance at the BAFTA Games Awards, one of Britain's biggest prizes, for her portrayal of Senua in Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. One of the central themes of that original game is that the character of Senua experiences psychosis, having visual and auditory hallucinations. Studio head Dominic Matthews tells me why they decided to include themes of mental health in their game.
We've always made fantasy games, really. We thought about the fantasy that we wanted to tell and landed on that fantasy being the creation of someone's own mind and their experiences of psychosis. I reached out to University of Cambridge. We're here in Cambridge, very lucky to have the university on our doorstep, and found Professor Paul Fletcher, who is a professor of health neuroscience and psychiatrist at the University of Cambridge. He came to see us and we talked about what it's like to experience psychosis. Professor Paul and the people with lived experiences that we've worked with fed directly into the experiences that Senua has in the game and our players experience too.
How challenging is it to play that character?
It's a huge responsibility that I really want to get right. Like, I don't want to offend anyone. I want to put people in the shoes of somebody who suffers from psychosis and make it as real as I possibly can. What helps me is that I had the chance to talk to people that have lived experiences, and I also have my own experiences with psychosis. I suffered from a 6 to 12 months episode of psychosis when I was in my early 20s. I always go back to that experience and try and work that into the character as best as I can.
Where are you going with mental health, with psychosis this time? Is there a lot more to explore in...
Yeah, so without giving away too many spoilers of the first game, I think by the end of Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, Senua reaches a point of, I would say, understanding of her experiences. They're no longer brand new to her. So in Hellblade 2, we really continue that part of Senua and her mental health journey. So I think what players will find is that the balance of power between Senua and her experiences are a little bit different from what we saw in the first game.
Has your relationship with the character of Senua evolved in this game, do you think?
Yes, I mean, Senua is still hearing voices and seeing visions, but she's come to like peace with them a little bit more, and she uses them to guide her and protect others. I do feel like she's a lot stronger than the first game, and I think I can relate to that because obviously Hellblade 1 was my first time acting, so I was really afraid of that. And very kind of introverted and shy to act in front of others. And I do feel like I've grown a lot since then, and I'm a little bit more confident, like performing in front of other people.
I have to ask, how do you protect yourself while you are doing this performance? If it's psychologically, it must be very draining.
Yeah, it is. It can be draining, but I also find it quite therapeutic because you let everything out. Like, there's a lot of screaming, there's a lot of kind of high intensity scenes, and I really love to just let go in those moments.
So now we're going up to the third floor to sit with Melina as she does some audio recording.
Hello.
Hi,
I'm Nathan.
Nice to meet you, Jordan.
Jordan, lovely to meet you, Jordan.
Hi, I'm Jordan. I'm a sound designer, Ninja Theory, and we're about to record some audio with Facial.
So we're in this quite small area, from this really big stage we were recording the performance capture to this really small 3 meter by 5 meter room. Melina, you're wearing a slightly different helmet this time with an iPhone.
Yeah, it's basically a head-mounted camera again, but
with an iPhone. And it's just like an audio experiment that we're doing today. It's actually the first time that we're trying it, where we're trying to record my audio and facial at the same time.
Nikki, you're sitting there quietly in the corner, but you're the expert on this, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a technical animator here. I specialise in facial performance.
The facial capture stuff from the phone. It's called MetaHuman Animator, right? So why is it better than stuff that's come before?
It's groundbreaking tech. The reason it's such a big deal is because you're getting instant results. You can basically, once you process it, you've got the animation there and you can go from there just really quickly. It's brilliant technology.
And when you say really quickly, it's like seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, seconds, minutes is probably more accurate. But, I mean, when the previous turnaround would be weeks, months, and you're getting it done within the day, it's brilliant.
Let's see it happening then.
So we're about to record some facial and audio for a combat scene in the game.
You don't do that every day, do you?
Not every day, but maybe a couple times a week or something like that.
How do you keep your voice?
I mean, I do like vocal exercises before I start, but I reckon it's because I used to sing along to lots of metal music when I was young. Maybe that's why.
Thank you all. I'm going to leave you to it now. Leave you to some more performances.
Thank you.
Outside the sound booth, I meet Dominic, who's now with the design and animation team.
So this is where some of our teams sit. Design team here, so combat design, that's sitting next to some of our experienced designers. Over here, Lara, who's writing the script for the game and directing the scenes. She's deep in conversation with David, who's our audio director. So our animation team over here are taking the data from the performance capture stage and bringing that into the game, into the actual movement that you see with the character.
And then is processed by the combat designers.
So then they take that, they put it into the game and make sure that it feels good, looks good, and particularly with our combat, we've got a real focus this time on the storytelling. So a fight, a combat encounter is not just a fight, but it's actually a vehicle for a narrative beat, for telling a story.
It's a really high-tech office here. And it's a really snazzy blackboard you've got there, but you've got all these post-it notes stuck over it. What's that about?
Well, sometimes the old methods work really well, and there's something nice about having something tangible like a post-it note where you can separate your board into three columns: what needs to be done, what's being done, and what is done. There's a simplicity to it and an effectiveness to it that worked 20 years ago and still works today, so why change it?
ServiceNow unterstützt Ihre Business-Transformation mit der KI-Plattform. Alle reden über KI, aber die KI ist nur so leistungsfähig wie die Plattform, auf der sie aufbaut. Lassen Sie die KI arbeiten, für alle. Beseitigen Sie Reibung und Frustration Ihrer Mitarbeiter und nutzen Sie das volle Potenzial Ihrer Entwickler. Mit intelligenten Tools für Ihren Service, um Kunden zu begeistern. All das auf einer einzigen Plattform. Deshalb funktioniert die Welt mit ServiceNow. Mehr auf servicenow.de/AI4People.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, behind the scenes at Ninja Theory, as they work on their much-anticipated video game sequel, Senua's Saga: Hellblade 2. It's now March 2024, and the launch date has been announced for the 21st of May. I'm excited to talk again to lead actor Melina Jurgens, as well as studio head Dominic Matthews. We're getting close to launch now, and I want to feel what the atmosphere is like back in their studio. Tom, great to see you again. 7 months after we came the first time, and I sort of walked past a big meeting room. There were loads of people in there. I felt like I was really intruding on something. It looked very serious.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it didn't look too serious. it's our weekly leadership meeting. So it's the sort of one point in the week where we get everyone together and kind of do a round robin of how things are going across the game. And we are at that stage of the game now where time is limited, and it's about making as much difference as we can with the time that we've got left and the resource that we've got.
What phase are we in right now?
We're in a phase that we call mastering, where we're now getting the game ready to release to players. And that's really comprised of three main things: bug fixing, optimization, and polishing up the content that is there to make it look and feel as good as possible. One of the really interesting challenges in making video games that is different from film is that we have to make the game run as an interactive experience. And that means that it has to run at a consistent frame rate, in our case, a frame rate of 30 frames per second. For movies, their rendering is offline. They don't have to worry about interactive frame rate. So our challenge as video game makers is to make something look and feel as rich as possible, but they also have to run effectively and efficiently for it to be a video game. Part of this phase as well is getting feedback on the game.
So playtesting stage, right?
Yeah, it's playtesting. And actually for us, it's always important to try and do that externally. So not to bring people into the studio, people who have no connection with us. Do you understand what you're supposed to be doing? Mm. Are you getting lost? And feeding that into the remaining work that we're doing so that essentially we can identify blind spots, which is very easy to have when you're so close to something like this. In our game, one of the principles of Hellblade is that we don't have on-screen indicators. So from our testing of the game, we weren't doing a good enough job of helping players to understand what they need to be doing. So before you get into the game, now you will see an image of the control pad that highlights exactly what you need to press and what actions those buttons will perform.
And I can imagine that's hard when you've been working on it and you're like, oh, go through that door. Obviously go through that door.
So what always happens is you start off super subtle. You go to playtesting. Players say, I've got no idea where I'm going. And then you have to be a little bit more overt. So, for example, in the game, we have a game language that we don't tell players about, but things that you can climb on, doors that you can go through, have white paint on them. Now, we never tell the player, hey, things with white paint, you can interact with them. But when you play the game, some players will realize, oh, it's the white paint. Mm. For other players, they won't realize why they know they can interact with that thing, but it's because we have a visual motif. It fits nicely within the world and within the aesthetic. We don't want anything in the game that screams, you're playing a video game.
You spent years recording this role as Senua. How do you feel now that it's all wrapped?
So the motion capture has wrapped quite recently, but I'm still doing a lot of combat voice recording, so there's still quite a bit to do until we ship the game. So I'm recording VO maybe 2 to 3 times a week.
You are still recording?
Yes, it's not, I'm still recording. Yes.
Less than 3 months to launch, and you're still adding your performances, it's still organic, it's still ongoing.
Things are still happening, and we're polishing and trying to get every detail into the game, make it as good as we possibly can. So no one is sleeping, everyone's working hard, and we just try to do the best we can to get the best possible game out in time.
When we were last here 7 months ago, we were on the performance capture stage. What's happened with what we saw being recorded then?
Yeah, so in the case of that particular scene, what we had originally was that the two characters were walking along having this discussion. What we've done quite recently, actually, is given that player that little bit more of agency in the game so that they have the choice as to whether they want to walk or run through that section. So what we've done this week is that we've re-recorded those lines so that they sound as if the characters are running. So if the player chooses to walk, the line will be delivered like the characters are walking. If they choose to run, the line will be delivered with a slightly more out of breath kind of style, as if the characters are running. And then the important bit as well is that we can get the blend between those two states as well, so that if the player chooses to walk for the first section and then speed up, that the transition between those two is as seamless and as realistic as it possibly can be.
That sounds like a lot of extra effort. Why do that? Why focus on that?
It's all about suspension of disbelief. We want to keep you in the world, in the moment, and in the game.
We've talked about the gameplay. Could we have a look at the game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you climb this?
Yes.
On the screen in front of us is the current version of the game. So we essentially make a full version of the game several times a day, and particularly overnight. And what that means is that every day we can come in and we can play the actual latest version of the game. So that's what we have in front of us.
I actually came in last weekend and sat here for an entire Saturday just playing it on my own. And that was a really nice experience.
What about your family?
It's just me.
What happened to them? Similar?
We are watching a version without the music, and this is a bit that we were watching being recorded on the performance capture stage, and now we're seeing it in the game. We are walking through rugged Iceland in the rain. You can see the volcanic rocks around, the details on the clothing. This looks so much more intricate than the first game.
My brothers used to come here to practice fighting. Sneak out. Follow them. They're dead now. I'm all that's left.
Are you ready? Are you confident for the launch day?
Yes. What is exciting and scary with the release of any game is there is always going to be an element of the unknown. What I know is that we will make something that comes from the heart, and my hope is that that lands with people in the way that we intend. The proof will be when the game is out there. So will we be ready? Absolutely. But when that day comes, it's certainly going to be a nervous one.
What do you hope that player is going to be feeling playing this game like this?
In my mind, I want players to sit down in a dark room, put their headphones on, and sink themselves into this experience. The number one thing that I would love would be for them to come out of the other side of the story thinking and feeling differently about not only Senua's life, but perhaps their own life.
In the past, you've described this role as life-changing. What do you mean by that?
Everything. Like, I'm just doing things that I never thought I could do, and I still don't even know how I did it or how I'm doing it, because, like, I have such high anxiety levels and I feel so uncomfortable performing in front of people. So I think that role has really made me, like, get to know a different side of myself. And just, like, being able to talk about mental health so publicly is such an important thing to me as well, because, like, I'm suffering a lot from mental health issues, and people very close to me have died because of it, and it shouldn't be a taboo subject. Like, I'm very happy that I can talk openly about it, educate people, and just remove the stigma and make people open up. Like, you can explain so much to people, but if they can play it and they're in the shoes of that person, they'll just get it way better.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, with the Ninja Theory team behind Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, which is out now. The programme was presented by me, Nathan Jones, and the producer is Andrea Kidd.